Okay.
Should I get people?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've got connections, so let's find out.
Hey there, Ned.
Hello.
Good afternoon. We're just getting everybody to sit down again.
I actually don't hear, I don't hear the echo.
You sound crystal clear. Much better than
yesterday. Great.
All right. Just a moment or two. We have refreshments. You're missing out on refreshments.
Here, have a virtual cookie.
And I forgot to ask you if I could record. Do you mind if I record this?
No, that's fine.
Oh, good answer. Because I am taping right now. So, welcome, Ned. We've got about 25 people here, librarians and booksellers and authors and an illustrator. And we're going to give you the floor to talk for 10 minutes or so, maybe 15.
15 minutes of me. That's dangerous, really.
If you start to get too choppy, I'll let you know and we'll shift to chat.
To chat. Okay, that sounds good. I do hear now the echo developing.
Well, I'm going to stop talking so you can turn your speaker down. That might help.
My speaker?
Yeah.
No, there's no... I don't have a speaker. I just have this headset.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that's not a problem.
No. Go. So what do you want to tell us?
Okay, let's go for it. Is everyone at this conference involved in the YA world exclusively?
Yeah.
It's a mix. We have school librarians, children's librarians, and young adult librarians.
Oh, okay. School librarians, children's librarians, and young adult librarians. Well, I've had a great time working in YAA. It's been a lot of fun. I've been really proud of what I've done, and my new book has done well. And the support of the library community has been very important to me. Recently, I took a new job, which doesn't make a lot of sense at all. I got signed up for the New York City Teaching Fellows Program. Anybody heard of it?
Yeah.
You? Yeah.
Yeah? You know anyone who's in it?
Just you.
Just me. Right. Okay, well, I've done a lot of pretty stupid things in my life, but among them, I looked into this program because when I got my book deal, I found myself in a position where I didn't really need to have a job, and I was able to sit at home, and just I had money in the bank. That didn't really turn out too well for me. You know, I got very depressed. And then I ended up with a quick trip to the psych hospital and ended up writing It's Kind of a Funny Story about that experience. So something good came of it, but it was definitely not a great lifestyle. So I went on to find a job in the computer field because a lot of people don't know that despite success as a writer, I majored in computer science. I never thought writing was going to make me any money. Then, of course, I got out of college and managed to sell a book, and all the computer science jobs went to Bangalore. you know, you're best laid. But I got this computer job. That involved me waking up at 5:30 in the morning every day and doing an hour 15-minute commute, maybe a little longer, and it was pretty horrible. I mean, it was even worse than just staying at home all day. Although I found incredible similarities to the way that the corporate offices of computer associates were set up and the way the mental hospital was set up. A lot of natural light, you know, pale colors, regular feedings. I had a selection of coworkers who were pretty zombified. The one who really made things worthwhile was a gentleman named Yakov. Yakov was my carpool partner, and he worked in the Russian oil ministry, so he was really professional about not doing any work. I mean, he was a Soviet, you know, he didn't mess around. And I really enjoyed riding to work with him every morning. We would listen to audiobooks, and the audiobooks that we selected were the ones that I always meant to listen to, but never did. So classics, you know, things like Camus. We were listening to Kafka. You know, it was Kafka and Camus on the way to our hopeless jobs. And in the dead of winter, driving on the Long Island Expressway, which I actually found, I started to like, I started to enjoy the show. So that was cool. Except that I did hate it, and, you know, I don't want to kill myself. So we have to get rid of that. What else happened? All right, so he's always telling me, I like working big. It's for me is good, you know, no one cares, you work, you know work. He's also very good at, like, scoping out where the was and making me walk in a different direction.
We're starting to lose you, Ned.
Oh, boy.
Getting
well, should I try a recall?
Actually, it seems to smooth out. Now I have 4 bars on my internet. Keep going. How about Yakov?
Okay. Well, Yakov was really good at shirking work, but he got fired. he didn't last that long. And I moved into Manhattan, which I found to be very crowded and very lonely at the same time. I'd grown up in Brooklyn. I always wanted to live in Manhattan. I thought it would be kind of easier to meet women and bring them to my home. It proved to not be easy. But also, I was just very, very at this time, you know. I didn't like my job, and I knew I should be writing, but, you know, it just gets very overwhelming having to hustle yourself and sell yourself every day, and that's what being a writer is when you're not writing. And I'm pretty sick of it. I used to love it, and now I understand why Mr. Salinger went up in the woods, decided he was going to hang out there and write books occasionally.
So Nathan, what was so compelling about having this chat with us today?
I get a chance to connect with the library community and tell stories, see if they're funny.
Could I ask you to talk a little bit about the 3 books that you've written for those who may not be familiar with your work?
Okay. The first book is called Teen Angst Now. It's a collection of stories of funny things that happened to me in high school. It's been out since the year 2000. It is in print, schools, and it's very popular, and it's just been great to me. There are people who think it's the best writing of mine, and so it's really good to know that I peaked when I was about 15. The second book is Chill. That's a novel. It's about a high school student who gets a computer pill in his brain that makes him cool. And gives him advice all the time, tells him how to talk to girls. It speaks to him in the voice of Keanu Reeves. He can set it to different voices, but you know, that's the default. And, goodness, you guys seem to like the Be More Chill synopsis, so maybe you'd like to know one of the popular scenes in the book based on my own life. It's Jeremy is the main character. It's his first kiss. He's behind the book with some girls of questionable moral fiber. And, you know, one of them, he starts sitting next to her and his friend starts making out with the other girl. So he figures it's chance, his big chance, and he's with it, you know. He's amazed. And then he manages to take her shirt off, and she has a whole ring, you know, a nipple ring. And this is a popular part of the book. And so he gets to a... He figures, well, what am I going to do? You know, I guess I better kiss it, you know. That's probably what I'm supposed to do. And so he's sort of just about to do that, and she yells at him, no, it's infected. which happened to me, the first girl I ever kissed. Just, not such a good... Well, I was very excited later on, I mean, nevertheless, but, you know, it could have been a little bit better.
But you were able to profit from it, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Able to profit from it. Yeah, gotta... What you see... I went to a party on a Saturday, and I walked into the bathroom, and... I don't know, this is a disgusting story, but someone was in the bathroom, like, peeing in the shampoo.
Yes. I'm never going to hear the end of this. Thank you for ruining my reputation.
I mean, I'm just... what do you do? Do you want to get involved? I didn't close to the... Obviously, it's a grudge.
No, these are real-life stories, Brooklyn. Yeah, and Manhattan.
Oh, in Brooklyn, yeah.
In Brooklyn,
slightly. You know, Brooklyn is hardcore. I'm hardcore. I live hardcore. I am hardcore. I'm so hardcore that I stepped on my computer and broke it and had to send it back to San Diego. And, you know, it's difficult some difference. Hardcore and just being a clut. And so, and my third book, right? I mean, I'm on right now, but you know, I got diagnosed as a manic depressive, and I take medication for it. It's actually a anti-seizure medication, and the dog recently, my parents' dog, ate all of it. And of course, my parents were just concerned about the dog. You know, they're not worried about me not getting my meds. But right, so for a long time we didn't think it was manic depression. We thought it was straight up depression because, as my book was coming out, Be More Chill was coming out, I just was under an incredible amount of pressure, and I started to really withdraw from life. And it was just it was a dark and difficult time, and it got so dark and difficult that towards November of 2004, I had a really good night, and I called up the hotline, and it told me if I was really thinking about, you know, killing myself, I needed to go into the hospital. And, you know, 5 hours later, I was in the psychiatric hospital, and it was a very unique experience, and I met people there who changed my life. When I got done with it, I started novelizing it, and the book is called It's Kind of a Funny Story, and it came out, since then, in order to try and stabilize things, because I not having any kind of job wasn't good for me, I signed up with teaching fellows, and now of all things, I'm teaching math to 10th in Fort Greene, working on a new book.
10th graders, did you say?
10th.
Math to 10th.
Yeah. I should be teaching English, but they had a little sign-up form, and, you know, leave it to me. There's a tremendous number of English teachers around, and I thought maybe, you know, they'll take me into the program if I teach math as opposed to English. Obviously, I published, you know, I should have been in the English part of the program, But anyway, it's interesting, and at least I don't have a whole amount of papers to grade, you know, it's just tests and stuff, and so I'm working on a new book as I do this because I got out of a very bad dip, and I had a short but intense addiction to online fantasy gaming, like Dungeons, you know.
Cutting out a little bit. An online addiction to Magic the Gathering, an online game.
Yeah, I had an online addiction to Magic the Gathering. It was bad. And so now I'm working on a book about a guy who's reintroducing himself to nightlife and the world after a really bad relationship and a short but intense addiction to online Magic the Gathering.
So art imitates life.
Yes, well, you know, it's all 80% true. And trying to make this, you know, I mean, this is an adult novel. That's spread things. I at this point only really have the resume of because I've jumped around. So, you know, I haven't been a fishmonger yet, but you know, anything else. So I'm working in that vein, you know. And I don't do as many library events as I used to, which I feel a little bit.
Out again. We heard you don't do library events like you used to.
Well, not like I used to. That's also, you know, very difficult and stressful in terms of you've got to set them up, and then, you know, you never know if they're going to happen and you'll get paid or not. And now I'm working for the government, you know. I mean, I know I'm going to get paid, even if it's very small. And, you know, the discipline of having to get up and that's a good me. You know, this is really more session for me. You guys should be charging me $65.
Yeah, well, your agent called and negotiated, so.
My agent negotiated this? Oh, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, boy. Yeah, that's his job. But, you know, goodness knows what they think now. I mean, I'm doing the whole teaching thing. But, those are the books, you know, and that's me.
So we'd like to open it up for questions. Is it all right if I think people have questions for you?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Does anybody have any kind of
dare? How old are you?
25.
I have a question. I really enjoyed Teen Angst Math. And there's kind of this idea out there that young adult literature is written by adults and then the publishers market it to the teen segment. And there isn't as much true young adult literature, which is young adults writing for their peers. So how did you get published at such a young age?
I used to write for this alternative newspaper, like kind of throwing me off. So alternative newspaper called New York Press. I started writing while I was in high school, sent them stories they liked, they ran with them, and it was quite an honor. And those stories led to a book that I published in the magazine, and that led to a publisher offering me a small deal for Teen Angst Nah. But I don't want to trivialize them. I mean, they took the called Free Spirit in Minnesota. Did an amazing job.
One of the other authors wants the end of the shampoo urination story.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know, what would you do? I mean, you know, I thought the guy was a psychopath, and I looked behind me, and I wanted to see if anybody else had seen, and then I just tried to leave, and the guy said to me, you know, you're not going to tell anybody about this, right? And I said, well, I guess not. I don't know. I think it's pretty screwed up. I feel like I might have to tell anybody, and he told me, well, they deserve it. I can't explain. And I tracked down the host of the party, and she shouldn't use it because they tested on it.
Don't use the shampoo they tested on.
Yeah, they were big into animal testing. They had like a poster of all these companies that tested on animals, don't use their products. And so I just told them that, you know, herbal essences is like, they're actually really bad. I saw something on it on CNN. So, I think that's kind of my part. I mean, I didn't want to get that involved, you know. That's not...
Uh-huh.
I have a question for everyone on the panel.
Sure.
It's an interesting question. I asked, we could go, well, if we had 15 people, but this made me think, how good a liar do you think you are? Scale of 1 to...
How good of a something do you think you are on a scale of...
A liar. Scale of 1 to 10.
On paper or in person?
On paper or in person? Very good point. I guess I'm talking about in person. I've never heard this before.
I'm terrible in person, but I'm a really good liar on paper.
All right, so maybe you're a 10 and a...
He's looking for a number.
Who wants a number? Yeah.
I think you're trying to hide yourself behind a cloak of earnestness there.
Maybe she's lying.
See, that's the thing. I was talking about this at the party with Nick. I asked, you know, everyone around, you know, what how good a liar they thought they were. Nick said 4. Nick's a very guy, and I mean, a whole lot of stuff, so I'm surprised to hear that. Because I'm like, Nick, you're a 4? Now, I'm not going to tell the next situation.
I'm not going to tell the truth.
That's
just...
Right.
I'm only like a 3 or 4, but I have had a few expired moments in my life.
Oh yeah, yeah. What are you? What number?
10.
He's been lying.
He's talking about it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I don't. If I have to, well, this man, you know, I'm get out of anything. You know, it's something. Whatever. Really. I just it's part of being hard, which I talked about.
So it's part of being what?
Hardcore, which I've just talked about before. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta survive. One thing, you know, about the last couple of years, it's been kind of difficult, but now I know I could really survive anything, you know, which I think is important for a writer to realize. Lives can get pretty complicated.
Other questions?
You sound like, I don't know, you sound a little shell-shocked. I don't know. No, I'm very honest with things. I'm living with my parents now. I don't know if
anyone
wants to know about
that.
Handle, you know, I don't know, living with my... I moved like 4 years. I was in a bad relationship. And now I'm back here, you know, so I get to, I don't know, my mom is like, lunch. I got to get out. I'm getting out. I you know, you can kind of make a little bit of experiment with it in terms of, like, I tell women that I'm 25, my mom, you know, what to say. You know, having a honesty pop is actually very... So I'm a good luck. I have a the honesty that I work with.
Ready to wrap up. I don't have any other questions for you. Is there any last plug that you'd like to make?
Well, you know, look for the new book when it comes out. I mean, I'm pretty confident that we'll get done and make it work. Ben's is out for a long, long time.
And are you interested in doing these kinds of chats with libraries? Should people be contacting you to do this?
to do this stuff? They all do this stuff. This is great. Yeah, you know, if you guys want to do it. If you got some, like, you know, young people in there, they it's always fun to be able to talk about the writing process with them and the word with it. Young people who are just right.
We're all 25 here, you know.
Oh, great. I'm sure none of you live with your parents. Oh, my goodness. I'm supposed to go. Last night, I did Mark. He was in college class. He's kind of a froggy-looking older guy, and he works in the MTA, the subway system. So I want to talk to him about that, you know. I introduced him to these girls from Europe, and, like, they said his French was beautiful. You know, and I said, it's really too bad. You know, he kind of looks a little bit froggy and older because he's such a charming guy. And they said he looked less like a frog and more like a toad, which I thought was just really terrible.
Thank you very much for being so entertaining, man. We really appreciate the opportunity and the check's in the mail.
Okay, you know, I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm living at home. It's not a huge deal. I mean, if the check comes, I guess it'll come. Once I'm out of the house, it's going to be important. So listen, Beth, this has been wonderful. Let's do it again sometime.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Oh, jeez. All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.